No, that's fine. Take your time. Take your time.
And if you want to give
them
to media, that they can.
Yes. Members of the media who are choosing to stay in the room, I'm obliged to inform you that while you can observe, take notes, you cannot report on items that take place in the executive session. So is the room clear?
I'm trying to accommodate him. You'll see there's been a perfect storm of errors here.
Yeah, 33, number 2. Just
not really that errors, it's just circumstances on our part.
Hello, you're Heidi Bell?
I am from Prestige.
Hi, thank you very much for coming today.
241,
Just to be clear with you, today we're not going to decide whether you've committed violations or not committed violations. We're going to decide whether or not to investigate if there have been violations. And the typical procedure is for us to have a staff report. The commissioners will ask questions of staff if they have any, and then you and your legal counsel will have the opportunity to say whatever you'd like to say, and the commissioners will ask you questions. And after that, there may be a motion placed on the floor which commissioners will discuss and then act upon. But in no case today are there going to be findings of violations or not violations. Do you have any questions?
No, not at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So is there a staff report?
Yeah. Chair Burke, commissioners, Heidi Bell is the city manager for the city of Donald. A complaint was received alleging that Ms. Bell may have used her position to receive comp time while being an exempt salaried employee and to make changes to the city's health reimbursement account in order to personally benefit herself and obtain LASIK eye surgery at no cost. Information obtained during preliminary review shows that the health coverage in the city's plan were the exact same before and after the alleged period and were not changed during that period by Ms. Bell. Ms. Bell explained that she flexes her time with the permission of her appointing authority because she often has to attend evening meetings or other events outside the normal work hours. She provided timesheets showing that she never took comp time at 1.5 time, but rather evened out her hours through flex time, for example, working 10 hours one day and 6 hours the next. The report in your meeting book was written before the investigator had a chance to review the last batch of timesheets that were submitted, which arrived after the report was finished. Thus, the report contains a recommendation to move to investigation in order to examine those time records, a recommendation which may not be applicable at this point. In the set of timesheets were submitted and not included in the review when this report was written, and they are before you now. And Ms. Bell is represented by Attorney Kenny Montoya, who is here today to discuss this.
Our executive director would like to chime in.
Yeah, so this is kind of some extraordinary circumstances here. So I think as Diane had said, I believe these last records came in at, like, I think it was 419 on the 1st or the 2nd of April, and the report was done, I think, on the 2nd of April. So anyway, we weren't able to look at these. And as you know, once I signed the report, we're not able to actually do any more investigation until we get to this point. So it's kind of a no man's land. You can't do anything. So, and then, of course, and I haven't said this yet, but the reason Diane is doing this is the investigator on this has moved to the private sector. So we've lost this investigator with the commission too. So, however, during this time, I believe our attorney, who is able to look over materials, looked at this, actually found a couple of missing ones for me, which I appreciated, but I was able to get a hold of Mr. Montoya, and those were provided, and we did not see any comp time being used, or Amy did not see any comp time being used, and so I'm here to tell you that our recommendation is to dismiss this case. So it is moving, because you might have stopped in recommendation, because we hadn't seen these records that were in the last year. We have the records now. They just came at a time when we weren't able to review them. But they have been reviewed by legal counsel, and we're satisfied that no violations have occurred.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? Okay. Well, Ms. Bell, is there anything you would like to say, or your attorney?
The only thing, you guys notice I've come before you a number of times. The firm I work for, we do a lot of work for an outfit called CIS, City County Insurance Services, and so we represent public bodies that can be very large and remarkably small. And one of the things that kind of piqued me a little bit here was the fact that the investigator had initially said move to investigate based upon the fact that the payroll records weren't yet available. There's no law that requires not for exempt employees to maintain public or to maintain the records, timesheet records, if you will. And so there's a lot of public bodies out there and a lot of government employees who do not track time, such as Ms. Bell does. And so kind of this is more the 35,000 foot level as your folks move forward. The letters we submitted from the mayors clearly indicated that she hadn't taken comp time for the subject period. But the reliance by the investigator on the payroll records, as fortunately we were able to produce them here, but in future cases, it just seems like it's going to be very difficult for an employee of a public body to defend themselves in these litigation or these matters when they have no records to produce, and then the recommendation is going to be to move to investigate because they can't produce what they're not required to maintain. I guess what I'm trying to say is I frankly thought the mayor's letter should have sufficed insofar as evidence, if you will, because Mayor Olmsted, who was the mayor during the main part of this, he writes, I reviewed all of City of Donald's employees' timesheets for the years 2017 and 18, as Ms. Bell's immediate supervisor also signed hers. As city manager, her position is salary. She did not accrue or use comp time. For a lot of the public bodies, folks, that's all you're going to get as evidence. And to then move to investigate with these in your possession, it's, I hate saying it like this, but it's not. I'm not here out of benevolence. Somebody's having to pay me, and it's just not fair to some of these folks who aren't from some of the bigger entities. And I will tell you, I worked for the city of Salem for 5 years. I don't have a time card. I never had a time card. There were records that showed when I took vacation, but not the kind of drill down that you have with those records here. So that's really all I want to have to say, and I appreciate the dismissal recommendation.
Director Burson?
Yeah, I don't disagree with what Mr. Montoya said. However, I will say that I'm an exempt employee, and I have very detailed records on my time. And so what the state of Oregon is if I'm not here 8 hours during the day, then I have to use it with some kind of vacation or comp or something like that. So I don't, I'm not allowed to flex as an exempt employee of the state of Oregon. So, however, like I said, the records are in now. My recommendation is still the same. I just, anyway.
Okay, very well. Is there a motion from the floor?
Move to dismiss.
Okay, Commissioner Mason moves to dismiss. Second. Yes, that's why I keep doing this.
It's okay.
So we'll go to a roll call vote.
No problem.
And the motion is to dismiss.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Chairberg?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. The ethics complaint is dismissed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your time.
Have a happy holiday weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're going to start at the top of executive session. And
let me see if Wendy's here.
Yeah. Somebody else is here to testify?
Possibly.
Number 34 is here. Number 30 may be here.
Okay. Well, we'll just hop all over the place as needed to
I'll keep you convenient
for your people, yes.
I just want to say for the record, thank you, Commissioner Starr, for the zucchini bread.
Delicious.
It's excellent, yeah.
Great record.
I just want to say for the record, the doors are open. It's not executive session.
Whatever. I'll say it for the entire public.
I was going to go get a piece of it.
It's a good mid-morning. That's the best.
I just want to say for the record that with Commissioner Fisher not here.
Yes, well, we don't want to call this finally number 34, and it's Ms. Lawson, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right, so we'll go to item number 34, which is referenced, which is documented on page 261. And this will be the matter of Nancy Lawson. Is there a staff report? Oh, wait, before we begin, I want to do the same thing here. I want to explain that in no case today will there be a finding that you've violated ethics laws or not violated ethics laws. The procedure will be that the staff will make a report, commissioners will ask staff questions if they have any questions, and then you'll have a chance to speak if you wish. And then commissioners will have a chance to ask you questions, and then commissioners will make a motion and discuss it and take some kind of action.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, very good. So is there a staff report?
Chair Burke, commissioners, investigator Susan Myers. This item is a preliminary review report from Nancy Olson, chair of the Oregon Commission on Autism Spectrum Disorder, or OCASD. The underlying matter here involves written testimony submitted to the Senate Committee on Health Care concerning Senate Bill 135. The bill was in committee. It would prohibit unlicensed providers from practicing applied behavior analysis to treat mental, emotional, or behavioral disorders. And an amendment to it did not provide any exception for the provision of ABA services in an education setting, school districts, special education, etc. The complaint in this case, filed by Paul Turdall, alleged that Nancy Lawson violated ORS 244.040 and 244.020 when she submitted a letter to the legislative committee on OCASD letterhead and using her official title. Her OCASD letter asked the committee to obtain stakeholder input, such as from OCASD, on the proposed legislation. At the same time, she submitted a separate letter on her own company's letterhead, asking for similar stakeholder discussions. The OCASD letter she submitted did not disclose that she may have any potential conflicts of interest arising from the proposed legislation. Mr. Turdall alleges that Ms. Lawson and her company may provide ABA services, and thus the bill could have a financial effect on her business. In response, Ms. Lawson denies that she or her company provides such services or would be affected by the legislation. The information gathered during preliminary review is insufficient at this point to determine whether the proposed legislation would or could affect Ms. Lawson's business. ABA, as defined in the statute, is very broad and difficult to pin down. It may be that Ms. Lawson would fit within a class exemption in 244.020.13b. If so, then no conflict of disclosure would be necessary. If the commission determines that a class exists of ASD of autism spectrum disorder service providers in Oregon schools, and Ms. Lawson is a member of, and determines that Ms. Lawson is a member of that class, then she would have no conflict to disclose. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would seek to clarify those issues and determine to what extent the Senate bill would or could financially impact Ms. Lawson or her company. We would also seek to determine whether she misused her office by submitting a letter in an attempt to forestall any potential financial detriments posed by the legislature. So at this time, we recommend that the commission open an investigation.
Do any commissioners have questions of our esteemed investigator?
Yes.
I think Commissioner Keene was first. Okay. Commissioner Sugar second.
Thank you, Chair. So, Ms. Gould, I just had a question. Because this testimony was in this preliminary hearing that they weren't going to make a decision. Sorry, Susan. The most that this finding might be is a violation of the potential conflict of interest rules, which would mean just a declaration and then continue to speak.
Correct. That she should have said, if in fact this could affect her business, then she would have been obligated to disclose that it could potentially do that, but that wouldn't have prohibited her from proceeding with submitting testimony. However, that still would raise the issue of, was it a prohibited use of office under 040? Mm.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Sugar?
I just want to make sure I understand the lay of the land here.
Okay.
So her nonprofit business is NWAES.
Correct.
And the commission that she serves on is OCASD.
I know. I'm sorry.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Just clearing up the alphabet soup. So it's my understanding from your report that she wrote a letter from her personal business, NWAES, which we don't have a copy of, but you reference as an exhibit.
Correct.
And then OCASD, the commission, voted or she just wrote it on behalf of the commission.
She wrote it on behalf of the commission, according to her statements, her response. She did speak to one of the other commissioners, possibly two in advance, but it had not been in a formal commission decision.
And she's the chair of the commission?
Correct.
Okay. But it was at some point discussed in a commission meeting.
Subsequent to the Senate Bill's committee hearing, it was raised in a later commission meeting.
Okay. So can I ask another sort of more hypothetical question now that I understand the lay of the land?
Okay.
Would this whole situation be different if she had obtained the vote or support of the commission and written it based on their decision as a group to submit testimony or a letter to the Senate committee? I guess I can look up.
Well, I still think, you know, one of the things, I read this a few times too, by the way.
It's complicated, yes.
So I think one of the things that we're asking to move forward on is to see, because Ms. Lawson claims that she does not perform this type of work, and I think that was one of the things that we wanted to see if that was the case. But if she did perform that kind of work, even if the commission voted, I think she would be conflicted at that commission and have to make a declaration. There could be a potential there's a potential conflict of interest.
During a vote? To write a letter.
Right. During that discussion, to write a letter, she would have to say, you know, this is part of my private business, and there's a potential that, you know, if this bill passes, I could get more. So that's what we look at. But I think more of it hinges on whether she actually does this type of work or not.
So whether there's even a conflict.
Because if there's not a potential conflict, then we're there. So I think what Susan was trying to say was in our abbreviated preliminary view, we just simply haven't secured all that information for you.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
To follow up, what additional information or how are you going to, other than Ms. Lawson's own statement that she doesn't perform that type of work, where else are you going to look for that information?
Well, initially, I think part of the problem is really understanding what ABA services are and to what extent her business or other similar businesses provide those in the school, in a school setting. And then I think further discussions with Ms. Lawson, with the clinical social worker who also works with her business, just to understand, because right now we have he said and she said, and just to clarify what services she does and does not provide, and whether they would fall within what the proposed legislation addressed.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Seeing none, Ms. Lawson, if you'd like to make a statement, now would be the time.
Thank you very much. One of the critical pieces is the compressed timeline. I came across the legislation Friday evening when I got home from school. I noticed that it was up for hearing Wednesday. That gave 2 business days. So I got on the phone with, actually, I initially emailed another commissioner as well as a chair of our work group, one of our work groups. I just emailed them and said, hey, take a look at this and get back to me ASAP. What do you think? Also check the amendments. No bias, just wanted others' eyes on it. They both called back immediately and said, whoa, wait a second, hold on. The other states that passed this bill had an exclusion for education. This one doesn't have the exclusion. Potentially there are significant recourses and situations here. So at that point, over the weekend, because I actually have two full-time jobs, I spent the weekend kind of investigating, looking this up, and crafting information. And then I sent a letter to the governor's office, to our liaison there Monday morning, saying I had 3 items to review with her. One of them was this bill. Over the weekend, I'd also spoken with the other commissioner who actually is on the board for the behavior analysts. So separately, he's on the board for governing those behavior analysts. We talked about ethics. We talked about that over the weekend, saying, do either of us? And I said at the time, I'm doing nothing with ABA through my business. We're not doing anything. There was no conflict. He, in turn, got some additional guidance from the Oregon Education Agency around ethics, who said there was no issue with it, and that was Monday morning. So I went ahead and proceeded with the 2 letters. The one from the commission simply stated, please allow the commission who has on the commission insurance, education, behavior analysts, doctors, all the possible stakeholders who might be interested in this bill are on the commission, please pause and let the commission take a look at it. In other words, I don't even know if you guys know there is a commission about autism. That was my main point. The second one I did from my business was to say, through my business, there is a potential impact to education. Please, and I didn't refer back to the commission, I just said, please refer to stakeholders, because the bill as proposed in Oregon does not have the exclusion for education. As such, potentially there's a conflict, and potentially there's a lot of flow through from that. And that's exactly what I did. I do not practice ABA. I know what ABA is, applied behavioral analysis. And in fact, at the commission meeting, Paul stated that I had stated in the commission meeting, which of course was the annual retreat, so it was 6.5 hours long, like of all times to have a full day commission meeting. So he was there for most of it. And in that meeting, we were talking about the SB 135, talking about ABA. I did not say that I do ABA through my business, but yet, and I submitted a copy of the minutes, which were listed as draft, because the commission has not had a subsequent meeting to approve the minutes. So I submitted those minutes as in draft form. There's nothing in those minutes to say I even talked about myself, business, ABA, any of those things. We talked about the Senate bill and drew forth a lot of questions and a lot of things that we want to talk about going forward. But I didn't say anything about that, but yet later on he submitted another letter saying, I said I did ABA in the commission meeting, when that's not in the notes and they aren't there. What I would like to offer, if it would be helpful, is I brought my brochures, which are the exact, if I may,
sure.
Chair.
Mm-hmm.
These are the brochures for the business that I opened in December of 17. They have not been changed. They reflect exactly what's been reflected. And nowhere in there do I say I conduct ABA, private behavioral services, etc.
That's you right there.
Yes, it is.
Nice picture.
Why, thank you. So I offer that just to say the list of services. I do have my private business I'm doing one day a week. I do it on Mondays. I go up to Roseburg and work with a LCSW. Thank you.
Thank you.
Work with an LCSW, working with families, young adults, and children, most of whom have autism. And that's with her, and we're not even doing ABA within the clinical setting. We're doing mainly cognitive behavioral therapy. So that's what I have to say. Anything? I drove the 3 hours today to be here specifically to respond to questions you may have.
Well, thank you for the long drive.
Indeed. Took the day off work because it's important that we understand clearly kind of what the lay of the land is and what's going on.
When this is over, I hope you can treat yourself to a nice lunch or something.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
But anyway, are there any questions for Ms. Lawson from any of the commissioners?
So I'm disappointed that we don't have in our packet the letters that were submitted to the Senate committee, because what I'm hearing from Ms. Lawson, I would like to see them. I don't know if other commissioners would. But what I'm hearing is that the letter to the Senate committee on behalf of the commission that she is the chair of was not actually as much advocacy as the second letter. And what it instead was asking was for the Senate committee to consult with their commission, which does this type of work, so that they could take a deeper dive into it. It wasn't even to try to kill a bill. Mm-hmm. It was really just to pause. And so I'm questioning I'm actually taking Ms. Lawson at her word here today, and I don't have any reason to disbelieve her statement. I don't find there's a smoking gun or any kind of reason for us to move forward to investigate. And once I see a copy of that letter, as long as I don't feel like there's some improper message in that letter, while I do think it's always better practice as the chair of a commission to get consent of all of your members before you submit a letter on policy to the Senate committee, I don't see it necessarily as an ethics violation. And so even if, I keep coming back to this, like I'm not really sure this is something we need to investigate. So and I appreciate the lengthy report and the information that you put together, but that's sort of where I'm headed.
Are you wanting to make a motion?
I would like to see the letter first.
So being copied right now.
Okay.
And I will say, I don't disagree with Ms. Lawson that the letter submitted on behalf of the commission was simply to say, please, Senate committee, refer this back to this state commission that is filled with experts that can provide additional input. It wasn't particularly trying to influence passage of the legislation. It simply wanted a voice. And the one submitted on behalf of her own company was a little more detailed, but it was also simply saying, wait and get more information. And she is correct. I did look at the minutes of that subsequent meeting. While the complainant alleged she had said she performed ABA, I did not see anything in the minutes that suggested she did so.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay. Commissioner Sugar.
I move to dismiss.
Okay, so there's a motion to dismiss. Is there discussion on the motion? I won't ask for a second this time. Okay, seeing no additional discussion, we'll proceed to a vote.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sobethan?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskham?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Well, thank you for the three-hour drive. Please drive safely on your way back. Where are you coming from?
Roseburg.
Roseburg.
No, south of Roseburg. I have my P.O. box because I'm in Roseburg on Mondays.
Uh-huh.
I actually live an hour south of Roseburg.
Okay. Well, watch out. The police are out in force today.
Yeah.
Good to know. So, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. And thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your work.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I was about to say, you know what? Clearly, I'm not supposed to be doing this.
No, you are.
You are. Okay. Thank
Very
you.
Good. Commissioner Fiscom, let's check in with you. How are you doing down there in lovely Palm Springs?
We want the
video.
Commission on camera now, even though for some reason I am not on camera and I was briefly. I'm listening and voting based on my phone.
Yeah.
This is a quick comment, Chair Burke. I would like to thank Tammy, Virginia, Kathy for helping me with this kind of access. Dolby Connect is a challenging vehicle, but it has worked fairly well today, thanks to great OGDC staff. So, thank you.
Well, I'm going to have to correct you. You were not on camera. Your forehead was on camera. Well, it's good to have you here. I hope you enjoy the sun. I know we've got some phone contact. Is anybody else physically here? Relating to the
Wendy Chung had told me she was planning. This is number 30. Had told me she was planning to attend in person, but I don't see her out there. So
okay. So then I guess what we'll do is we'll. Let's
I think. Oh, not in okay. exec session. There's somebody here for investigation.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. Let's go through executive session.
There's also someone here for advisory coming.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can get to executive session. We'll start at the top. Reports of preliminary review. Is there anything on that item? I guess not. All items removed from consent calendar for discussion. Okay. Next item, number 30, the matter of Wendy Chung.
Perhaps we should leave that in case she comes. She's coming.
You want to skip that one in case she shows up later? Sure.
Do you want to do it as after these ones that are on the phone?
Let's do the ones on the phone first. I'm popping around a bunch like a bunny rabbit. I guess it is Easter, so it's appropriate to bounce around. So,
Bobby Whitney?
Okay, so who are we calling?
Bobby Whitney.
Number 31.
Bobby Whitney, okay. Wendy Chung makes me think of the song of Wang Chung.
You're dating yourself.
I am. Resist.
So it makes me think of.
He's going to break out into a dance.
I'm fighting it.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to come back.
I thought I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. Instead of your hanging around.
I'm fine. You've reached Bobby. Please leave a message.
Hey. Hey, Bobby.
Okay.
Can't call him if they're not there.
Want to come back to it? We'll go to the next one?
Try
it. Want to give everyone the maximum chance to represent themselves.
Dave, are you still there?
Do we leave Commissioner Fiscom?
Dave?
Yes, Dave is still here. Thank you.
You know, they said to err is human, but to really screw up requires a computer.
Do you want to try calling Mr. Strasser? Number 32?
Okay, Dave, you're going back on hold. Just a second.
Thank you.
That's the first time I ever heard anyone.
So, can you get a printed... calendar for the executive session.
Yeah.
Did you get the printout?
right in the front of the executive session.
Yeah, it's not there. Okay. That's what I kept asking the patient.
Mr. Strasser, this is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Strasser. This is Richard Burke, Chair of the OGEC. What I want to make it really clear here, and I want to thank you for taking the call today. I want to make it clear that we're not going to find whether or not there are violations of Oregon ethics law today. The decision is only going to be whether or not to proceed with an investigation to determine if Oregon ethics laws have been violated. So the way this will work will be that staff will issue a report. Commissioners will ask questions of staff if they have any. Then, if you wish, you can make whatever statement you'd like to make. Commissioners may ask you questions if they have any. And then the commissioners will decide whether or not to proceed with an investigation. Do you have any questions about that?
I'm at your service, and thank you for allowing me to have the call next.
Okay, Commissioner Strasser, thank you very much. And with that, we will entertain a staff report.
Chair Burke, commissioners. Item 2 is a preliminary review report for Bob Strasser, commissioner for Jackson County. Commissioner Strasser self-reported a possible conflict of interest violation that occurred when, in October, he voted to approve Jackson County's purchase of real property without realizing that the title company identified in the purchase agreement was his wife's employer, or that she was subsequently going to be named as the escrow officer on that transaction. When Commissioner Strasser voted on October 16th, he had an actual conflict of interest because the agreement did identify the wife's employer as the title company. However, it does not appear that he had ever seen the purchase agreement or knew which title company was identified. The identification of his wife as the escrow agent did not occur until the day after that vote to approve the agreement.
Hold up just one second. What's going on?
Fiscum is not on the line.
Well, then let's get him on the line.
Okay.
Let's tell our other person online what we're doing.
Commissioner Strasser, we just realized that we lost one of our commissioners who was conferenced in. And so I'm sorry
did
for...
Did you reconference it after you did that, by the way? Did it conference
again? I'm sorry for the interruption, but we're going to try to conference him in now. And so
I
think
we're
going to... Okay, just a minute, please. And if we lose him, we'll call.
Yeah, if we lose you, we'll call you back.
Yeah, if you do, call me on the desk line because I find my cell phone is a little scratchy.
Okay, what's that number, sir?
We've got it.
We've got it, okay.
Hey, Dave, we're going to try to connect you here again, okay?
Thanks a lot.
All right. Okay, Mr. Strasser, are you there?
I am.
And Dave?
I'm here, thank you.
Okay, we'll continue where we left off.
Okay. As I was saying, when Commissioner Strasser approved the purchase agreement, he had not seen it. He had only received a summary. He did not realize his wife, that his wife's company was the title company. His wife was not named until a day later. While it does appear that Commissioner Strasser had an actual conflict of interest because of the title company, we would like to stress he has acted very honorably in self-reporting this matter to us. And he has taken subsequent actions to avoid this problem in the future by requiring any title transaction that comes before the commission to specifically highlight which company is identified by making sure that all of the county employees know who his wife is. Because of the per se language in the statute, we are recommending investigation. but would, if the commission moves it to investigation, immediately negotiate an appropriate settlement.
Okay. Are there any questions? Commissioner Mason.
Can I ask, was it disclosed what the motivation was to do a complaint on himself during that process? Because this is rare. I mean, right? I mean, was there a specific motivation that came out here in one of your conversations?
It was. When he called us to self-report and I explained what the options were, Commissioner Strasser was, I think he was very embarrassed that the situation that had happened the way it was, and he has a long history in law enforcement prior to the commission and simply felt that it, the actual honorable thing to do would be to self-report.
Can I ask Burson, have you seen that often in your years?
We've had a few that are self-reported, but you're right, it's rare. I mean, but it does happen. So, you know, it's been a lot of times, sometimes executive sessions, groups go in to executive session and, you know, find out they do it wrong and they'll self-report, but, no, it's rare. And you see, we wrote the report kind of, I guess, complimenting him
right.
on his, you know, transparency. That it would be until transparent.
Commissioner Keene?
Thank you, Chair. In light of the relative minor issue here of a spouse being an escrow officer, I know it's a business with, that she's associated with, but in light of the self-reporting, I move to dismiss.
Okay. There is a motion to dismiss. Is there discussion about the motion? Of course, we haven't given Commissioner Strasser. Oh, Commissioner Sosa.
Yeah, I think in addition to what Commissioner Keene says, I really appreciate the indication here that, you know, he's identified the problem, he's taken steps to correct the problem in the future. I mean, he's basically done everything we would have asked him to do,
right.
And he did it preemptively. Right. So I applaud him for that, and I would heartily support the motion to dismiss.
Our mission is to educate, and education is taking place. Commissioner Sugar?
You said what I was
going to say. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to take your thunder there.
That's fine.
Of course, you know, I want to give Commissioner Strasser a chance to speak since he's on the phone. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, other than I have full understanding of the issue, it basically was a sequence of circumstances. Responsibility is mine, and well, some things were not known. I think my excitement about getting this property secured for a potential new jail overwhelmed maybe the logic of something I might have asked. And you know, the bottom line is, no matter what anybody else did, I'm the guy who made the vote.
Okay, very good. And it's very refreshing, as Commissioner Sugar just said. So, all right, we have a motion on the floor. Is there additional discussion on the motion to dismiss?
I would just like to add one thing for Commissioner Strasser, that maybe, that because I think it's so important that folks like you who are on commissions and who seem to be very invested in what's good for your community, don't get your title an escrow officer selected before you decide whether or not to vote on a property, because it would seem to be a shame that you would have to recuse yourself because of an actual conflict due to an escrow agent for something that, I mean, it's really that kind of tip of the tail of the dog that you're voting on, and yet to be recused from that would seem to be a shame. But that's just my two cents.
I have already strategized the responses. There have been no less than 6 instances where I've declined to even sign documents until I knew since then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm currently the chair, and everybody felt bad. Staff felt they failed me. Well, it's, you know, it's still my responsibility. I could have stopped things and asked a question. And her name wasn't known at that point, but the title company was. I just never saw the sale agreement.
Sure.
So, you know, we have hindsight as a valuable learning, and I can clearly tell you I wish it had never occurred.
Okay, very well. Is there additional discussion before we go to a vote on the motion? Okay, we'll go to a vote on the motion.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, the ethics complaint is dismissed. Thank you very much, Commissioner Strasser. You have a good weekend. Take care. You have a good holiday weekend. Okay, so.
I think we should have had him.
No, he should.
So
the Southern Oregon, you know, extension service for us down there.
Well, I think unless do we have more?
That's becoming a reoccurring theme around here.
We need to be, but we haven't gotten a hold of either of them. There's one more to do on
there. Okay. Yeah, we're hopping around to try and convenience as many people as we can. The first two, Ms. Chung and Bobby Whitney, we're going to be with, but we can't get a hold of them. So let's go to number 35, Christina Stanley, and then we'll try to get a hold of the other folks when we're finished with that.
Page 281.
Yeah, page 281. Okay, I don't see that person on the call list. So let's go with staff report.
This should be a very short one. Chair Burke, Commissioners, item 35 is a case involving Christina Stanley, former mayor of Goldville.
I'm sorry, can we ask a question real quick?
Dave, are you still with us? Dave Fiscal?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Sorry about that.
We received a complaint from Janet Wilson, a current city councilor, alleging that Christina Stanley, after she left office, may have attempted to use her computer password to access the city's financial accounting system. As use of confidential information for personal financial gain as a former public official, this could potentially violate 244040, subsection 5. We opened a preliminary review. Shortly after it was opened, the complainant reached out and asked to withdraw the complaint, which isn't within our powers. In subsequent emails, we discovered that the city had learned that their outside accounting firm was using the former mayor's password to access the accounting software. As it does not appear that Christina Stanley misused confidential information or violated the statute, we recommend dismissal.
Okay, are there any questions for staff?
Move to dismiss.
Okay, move to dismiss by Commissioner Keene. Is there discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, with that, we'll go to item 30. Shall we try Ms. Chung again? Okay. Does anyone object if we take a brief bio break before we plow through the rest of the exec session? Okay, so let's do 7 minute and 32 second break. All right, folks, waiting. So let's see if we can get through this as fast as we can and still do the people's business properly. Let's go to item 30. Wendy Chung.
Are we still in executive?
We're still in executive session.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're out of recess.
Okay. Recording on.
Chair Burke and Item 30 is a preliminary review report for two related cases involving Wendy Chung, a commissioner on the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission. Filed by Alan Kessler in 2018, these complaints were originally administered as correspondence. As a result of a subsequent court order, we opened a preliminary review of the consolidated complaints. Counselor alleges that Wendy Chung fails to properly disclose conflicts of interest in two meetings of the Historic Landmark Commission in January and February of 2018. When the HLC was considering a development proposal for some property located across the street from Ms. Chung's residence in the Alphabet District. The meetings at issue were design advice review meetings, which are opportunities for developers to meet with the HLC to seek feedback and discuss issues before project plans are finalized. DAR meetings, as they're called, are not hearings and no decisions are made in those meetings. Mr. Kessler alleges that in the first DAR meeting, Wendy Chung's disclosures were incomplete because she failed to disclose her prior opposition to previous development proposals on the site. In the second meeting, he alleges she had an additional conflict of interest because her husband had testified in opposition to the development proposal. In both meetings, he alleges she had an actual conflict of interest requiring recusal primarily because the building, as when it was built, would shade her property, thus affecting its value. In her response, Wendy Chung stressed the preliminary and advisory nature of the DAR meetings and explains that in them, the meetings, no decisions, actions, or recommendations were made. She also explained that when the development proposal was ultimately submitted, the final proposal was submitted for a Type 3 hearing, she did not participate. Before the DAR meetings, she sought advice from the city attorney and then points out in both meetings her disclosures were extensive. When we opened preliminary review, commission staff listened to the entirety of both meetings and transcribed the portions where Ms. Chung disclosed her potential conflicts of interest. A copy of that transcription was included with the report in your meeting books. In both meetings, she disclosed a potential conflict of interest arising from the proximity of the site to her residence. Her disclosures were extensive. In the second meeting, her disclosure lasted over 10 minutes. Because of the preliminary nature of a DAR meeting, any conflict of interest would be potential rather than actual. At the early stage in the process, one cannot know whether there will be a certain impact on neighboring property values or not. The conflict of interest remains speculative and potential until the development plans are finalized and the project completed. There does not appear to be a substantial objective basis to believe that Wendy Chung violated Oregon government ethics laws. Because she disclosed her potential conflicts of interest in both meetings, she appears to have satisfied the disclosure requirements. We recommend, therefore, that both these matters be dismissed.
Okay. Questions for staff?
Does the complainant allege that there were different facts, or does he just think that she shouldn't have taken part at all?
He believes she shouldn't have taken part at all. There were slightly different facts between the two meetings because the proposal was being modified. In the first, it had step backs on the upper floors.
Oh, I just mean facts about what she did.
Oh, no. He did, I believe, in the underlying complaint before the judge, he alleged that she didn't disclose much at all, but neither he or the judge had seen the actual transcript of the disclosure.
Okay. I need to dismiss.
Okay, just one moment. Commissioner Fiskum, are you still with us?
Yes, Chair Burke, I'm still here.
Okay, very good. So you are then aware that Commissioner Keene has put a motion on the floor to dismiss. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote on item 30.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, very good. The complaint is dismissed. We will now go to item 31, the matter of Bobby Whitney. Staff report, please.
Chair Burke, Commissioners. Item 31 is a preliminary review report involving Bobby Whitney, a new city council member for the city of Oak Ridge. The complaint alleged that in January, Ms. Whitney failed to disclose a conflict of interest arising when her brother, Rick Zylstra, was appointed as the acting interim city administrator. And in February, when she voted on motions to review attorney billing records and approve water project agenda items that had been placed on the agenda by her brother. A review of the meeting minutes indicates that at the January meeting, the agenda indicated Police Chief Martin would be named as the acting administrator. Counselor Whitney was not informed that the appointment was being switched from Chief Martin to her brother until the motion was made. She immediately abstained from voting. Additionally, there was no actual or potential conflict of interest arising from her brother's appointment because the position of acting interim city administrator provided no additional financial benefit. There was no stipend associated. There were also no conflicts of interest arising in the second meeting when Councilor Whitney voted on the water project agenda items or the attorney billing records. None of those agenda items provided any pecuniary benefit to Ms. Whitney or her brother. We recommend that the commission dismiss the complaint.
Okay, questions for staff?
Make a motion to dismiss.
Okay, motion to dismiss. Is there discussion on the motion? Okay. You can vote if you want to. You can leave those chads behind.
That was for you. This is being recorded, right?
Yeah, I did. I did. We'll go to a roll call vote. The motion to dismiss.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sugar?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Burke?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, that brings us to item number 36, possible own motion.
Seven.
I'm sorry, seven.
701.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we're out of executive session now.